Now, as you are able and comfortable, would you please rise for the reading of Scripture? We read first from the book of the prophet Jeremiah, the 18th chapter, verses 1 through 6, and we hear, "The word that came to Jeremiah from the Lord, 'Come, go to the potter's house, and there I will let you hear my words.' So I went down to the potter's house, and there he was working at his wheel. The vessel he was making of clay was spoiled in the potter's hand, and he reworked it into another vessel, as seemed good to him. Then the word of the Lord came to me, 'Can I not do with you, O house of Israel, just as this potter has done, says the Lord? Just like the clay in the potter's hand, so you are in my hand, O house of Israel.'" And then from Paul's letter to the church at Corinth, the second letter, the fourth chapter, verses 7 through 10, we read, "But we have this treasure in clay jars, so that it may be made clear that this extraordinary power belongs to God and does not come from us. We are afflicted in every way, but not crushed, perplexed, but not driven to despair, persecuted and not forsaken, struck down, but not destroyed, always carrying in the body the death of Jesus, so that the life of Jesus may also be made visible in our bodies." May God's Spirit imprint these words deeply on our hearts today and on our lives from now on. You may be seated.
At this time, I would invite you to take out your sermon notes and study guide that you might follow along as I go down through the sermon. And then on the back side, know that I have worked long and hard on these study notes this week, and they will give you, I hope, what it takes to keep you on your journey this week as you read the Scriptures. Remembering who we are is an intentional task. It began over there for Caroline and Gabe, and we want to be able to remember who we are as baptized children of God. And what does that look like for us as we move through our life? We are daughters and sons of God, and we need to know how to behave. We need to know what it looks like to become more and more and moving intentionally into discipleship for God. This is a process. You know, it starts there, but it is a lifelong process. And as we try to help and encourage each other, we know that there can be pitfalls. There can be times. We would like to think that for Caroline and Gabe, but life is just going to be easy, but we know better. And so we want to be able to give them everything that we can to set them on the path and that they will be able to live life in a way that they could only imagine right now. We know that sometimes we can be overwhelmed. Just recently had opportunity to visit with a young man who was home from college after his first year. And he came to my office in June and he said, "You know, it was almost as if I forgot who I was. It was as if I felt overwhelmed, confused, and so alone at times. And I began to do things that I knew were not right for my life. And somehow, I could hardly wait to get home this summer." And he found himself in my office. And that was so key because in being there and being able to articulate that, you know, I need to get back on track here, that was the start. That was the ability when he was saying those words to begin anew. And that's what God promises to do for us, to always set us back upright again and start us anew. That's what we can count on because our human condition is fragile. You know, we think that we are pretty self-sufficient, but we really are fragile. A practical example of our human condition was given to me recently by a staff member, and she talked to me about how, you know, things can get lopsided in our life, and she told me about how she had tried to put together a media center, and she said, you know, this was her first experience with putting together anything like this in her life, and so she went to the home store, and she brought home this kit, and it had the picture on it, and she thought, I can do that. And so she began, she looked at the picture, she read the directions briefly, she said. She scanned them. And then she got out a toolkit that she could find in the house, and she began to put it together. Well, as you would imagine, she began to see that things were coming together a little lopsided. and that things weren't quite lining up. And it wasn't quite flush on the backside, and she couldn't get the back on eventually, because see how it doesn't line up there in the center at all? Well, you know, eventually she said, yeah, it gets on the backside a little bit more askew too. She realized when she was putting this together, you know, that she hadn't asked anybody to help her and that she really didn't have the right tools. But, you know, the best she could do was what she did. And so we can see within ourselves that same example, that we can try to put ourselves together, but we get a little lopsided. We don't have the right tools. We don't line up the way we should at times. And truly, we need help. And so, like this young person, we need to be able to know that there are, the complexity of our lives demands a greater attention to how we put ourselves together. Clues to this complex human condition are given to us today, too, in the scriptures. In reading the scriptures, you can see that the authors have used the metaphor of the potter and the clay. And the potter and the clay metaphor is used throughout the scriptures in the most beautiful ways. It starts in Jeremiah, and in Jeremiah, as was read this morning, you can see that the clay is needing to be reworked and somehow isn't holding up the way it should. What was happening with the Hebrew people then is that they found other gods, and the clay was needing to be reworked in a way so they would remember who the potter is. Of course, the potter there is God, and we are the clay. And when you see a potter working with this kind of clay, you know, they sometimes throw it on the wheel, and they just are able to somehow swirl it around and be able to come up with these beautiful vases and vessels that are just meticulous and wonderful, and we see them as art. But the potter has great skill and has had great teachers in making this kind of thing come together. And so it is that we know that as clay, sometimes we maybe need to be put back on the wheel and reshaped in a way. Sometimes, you know, like a potter, the clay gets a little hard. And anyone who has worked with clay like this knows that sometimes the person working with the clay has to splash some water on the clay and rework it. And sometimes then it gets too soft. And so then it has to add some more thickening, some clay to it to give it some structure again. And this is the way the great potter works with us. That sometimes, you know, we need to have a little water splashed on us, or we need to have God just really working with us, using those great hands to reform and reshape us into the vessel that we are tended to be. The next scripture, which is 2 Corinthians, was written hundreds of years later, but gives us the same metaphor of that of the potter and the clay. And we can see here that, again, it is those things of life. We can be struck down, overturned at times, broken, and yet it is in these times of life that we know that the great potter is going to be right with us. And as we can just almost feel ourselves be what you could call a cracked pot, we can feel God coming in and really reworking that pot in a way that makes us strong again. And that's the promise that we make over here at baptism. That's the promise that we live into and God lives into with us. These potters that we talk about, and God the potter, has given us tools, though, to use. We have to know how to use these tools, and we have to do our part in using the tools. I have brought along a toolbox, as you can see here this morning. Now, this bottom one is just excess baggage. Someone in the first service says, what's the bottom one? I said, well, it's just excess baggage. But this top one is my toolbox. It holds the tools that we need to have for our life. Your tools may look similar to this. This was my pocket testament when I was a child. It's dated 1957. And I was 5 years old when I got this. You can do the math. And here's my certificate of baptism. and my church membership to that little church out in the country called Pleasant Home, all important parts of the journey. Here's my first Bible. I can remember getting this on Christmas morning. I opened that package up, and here was this little Bible. It wasn't yellow then. It was more white, and this zipper just still works pretty well. But it has great pictures in it. And as a child, I carried this to church, and I did sword drills for many years, and it became a part of who I thought of myself as a Christian, this precious book. And then during my children's growing up years, this is the well-worn Bible. All of you mothers out there, this is the well-worn Bible that I used day after day when my children would go down for naps or early in the morning. Sometimes, you know, if we had a busy day, I would think, okay, I got to get up early to get this done today. But here was a little guide that I used at that time. And you can see it's barely held together by a rubber band at this point. But each year I would mark off every day in some way. And I went through two of these, actually. Then I would know that I had done my connection with God. Now, I had no teacher and no one to share this with as I went through, but it began me on my journey reading that way. And then here is the Bible that I'm using most now. This is the New Interpreter's Bible. It has lots of cross-referencing, and it really, daily, I mean, this is where I am now, daily. But, you know, there's always good things out there, and sometimes you just can't resist a new Bible. And so this was the one that I bought this year. It's the Message Remix, and it has everything, it says it in such wonderful language, and it's just so understandable, so that no matter where you turn to, you know you're going to get something that you can really understand. Then, the tools that help us understand what really the Bible, how the Bible will open up to us. These are the tools that I have used for the last 12 years, the Disciple Bible Study. These are the tools that we use here at the Church of the Resurrection. It talks about becoming disciples. This is Disciple 1. And this tool started me on an incredible journey. And then here's Disciple 3. We have 1 through 5, and then, of course, we have Christian Believer 2. But this disciple is one that got to me like none other. It says, remember who you are. And that's the title of today's sermon, of course. Remembering who we are, disciples of God. As we think about these tools, we know that our human condition really will sometimes take us to places that we never imagined that it would be where we could have landed. And we say, how did we get here, God? Well, if we have used these tools, or when we get to that tough situation, if we take it off the shelf and use it, incredible things will happen. I've been interviewed with Saving Grace's help this last week, some people who have talked to us about the tools and what they thought before they started using these tools in an intentional way. Take a look.
I thought I knew more about the Bible than I did. I had been to seminary a couple of years. I grew up in a Christian home. You know, I learned all the Bible stories as a kid growing up.
When I started, I had a very childlike faith, and I was kind of proud of that I believed in God, and I didn't think that I really needed to know more about the historical pieces of the development of faith.
Having taken a New Testament course in college, I wanted everybody to know that I knew a lot about the New Testament. It made me feel better about myself, and I left that class aware of how little I knew, how little I understood.
Disciple led me to a place where I no longer was afraid to access the Word of God. I would get into the Word of God. If I had a question, I would go and say, okay, what does the Bible say about this?
Taking Disciple once, taught it twice. I am not who I was before those experiences. I have changed every time to be closer to God, to be more who He wants me to be.
Disciples changed my life. Being in God's Word every day can do nothing but change your life. God's Word is a revelation. It helps us not only to know certain scriptures here and there, but to know God and to know God's character and to be able to trust in God in ways that you couldn't before.
What a witness to the power of these tools in their lives as they used them, as they made use of God's work in our lives. You know, God's always trying to talk to us, getting through to us. This is how it happens. You know, we wait for a voice from the sky. The voice is right here. We have to be able to take and do our part, though, in hearing the voice. Because life is going to happen. It's going to get tough at some time. The hardest of things will only make this clay, though. The hardest of things will only make this cracked pot better, because God will surely be with us. You know, using these tools, we have to know how. It's like having a new remote. You know, when you have a new remote at home, or, you know, one of those new technology devices, and you just kind of go, oh, no. And you know, your children have all left home that can help you with them. And, you know, it's up to you at that point. And you have a remote that has these new knobs and buttons. Well, it's like that. Or it's like, you know, now sometimes these phones that we carry and the way that we're connected with the internet, we think these are the devices that we really need the most, but truly we need to be connected most with these tools and know how to use them. And how do we use these tools? Well, John Wesley had a tool, a way of thinking about using the Bible, and it was called the quadrilateral. And the quadrilateral, the Wesleyan quadrilateral, is made up of rest. It's made up of the word rest. What the word rest is made up of is reason, experience, scripture, and tradition. Or Pastor Russell said, cert, which essentially is, again, scripture, experience, reason, and tradition. And in order that you might experience the importance of scripture, that is why we say scripture is paramount. You have to be able to use this word of scripture. When we think of using that quadrilateral for our own lives and how it works, the best way I can tell you is through a personal example that was given to me. There was a young woman who felt a burning desire to be of service to God somehow. And even in her very young life, she thought that perhaps maybe she should go to seminary. But, you know, she pushed that back because the tradition from which she came did not allow women to go to seminary, did not allow them to be ordained. And so she pushed it out of her mind and said, that's really not for me. It's not a possibility. And so she went about her life and had these children. And during that life, of course, you know, as some families do, and we search out a tradition that where really you can find everyone fits in the tradition in your family. And so that young family found themselves in a Methodist church. And wouldn't you know it, but a woman pastor came on board there one year, and she began to preach and teach in ways that woman could see, that young woman could see, that God had been working with this woman and had truly given her an opportunity. And so her pattern of experience, her experience with that church, began to work on her again. And she began to ask that question again, okay, God, well, how do these scriptures work here that talk about service, and then the scriptures over here, and trying to bring them together? And wouldn't you know it, that woman pastor decided she would teach disciple. And so through disciple, that young woman began to examine how it really came to be and how the ancient people, women were really property, and they had no rights. And so she began to see herself in that Luke 13 scripture where Jesus said to that woman in the corner, come out of the corner, woman, stand up and come forth. And she could begin to see Christ calling her again. And of course, there were the naysayers. Those naysayers in Luke 13 that said, what are you talking about? You cannot do this, Jesus. And so there was this, again, this inner turmoil for this young woman. She began to think, okay, you know, I'm not getting clear on this. But she knew somehow God might be calling her. And the voices of doubt kept pulling her in and out of that situation. Then finally she decided, well, okay, there's not clarity here, so I'm going to take a couple courses at seminary. So she went to seminary. She took a couple courses. And at that point, the struggle continued on. She saw how the tradition she was in was calling her forth. and her experiences and her reason were taking to her to a point where she was given courage to maybe try something different that she could not have imagined herself doing early in life. And finally, she had the courage, the strength to step out and find herself in a place of ordination. And peace came. Peace came. This was lifted off of her shoulders. And finally, of course, that woman found herself at the Church of the Resurrection. Of course, that woman is me. And so it is that we can only imagine what God might be opening up to us. Last week, a young girl, a five-year-old girl, had drawn a little picture of, and on it, it said her favorite pastors. And in the booklet, you opened up, and I was given this little booklet, a chance to see it after the service, and there I was. And you know, you just think to yourself, thank you, God. Thank you for keeping me on this journey. That is why I am passionate about these tools, because they will change your life. And it does not matter what your destination is. You may not ever become a pastor, and most likely not. But if you are a doctor, if you are a physician of any sorts, if you are an attorney, if you are a food service vendor, whatever it is, life will be different for you. You will see people as children of God, and everything you do will be given a mission. And that's how we are intended to be living our lives as disciples. This journey, this incredible journey that we can only imagine, our three witnesses want to talk to you a little bit about as they remembered who they were called to be. Take a look.
If you ask me today, remember who you are, the answer would be, remember whose you are. And if you'd asked me that 12 years ago, before I took Disciple One, I would have said who I am is a businesswoman, a professional, a mom, a nice person, a friend. But I wouldn't have said I'm a disciple of Jesus Christ.
I have to remember that I have to take care of myself. I have to read Scripture. I have to spend time reaching out to others. I have to spend time in prayer. I have to come to church. But I also have to participate in discussion of God's Word, participate in discussion of how His Word affects current events here in the world in 2006 that we face every day.
If you read God's Scriptures, you will quickly come to realize that we so easily forget who we are, and we constantly have to stop and remember that we belong to Christ. We are His creation, and that to be in relationship with Him is the most important thing.
How very true. The words of this good book are all we need for the journey. They will inform us, transform us, and make us who God hopes for in this lifetime. The Holy Spirit is a huge part of that, too. And as we enlist the Spirit to do the good work and we give ourselves up to it, we cannot resist God's hold on our life. When you think of the collective memory and you think of the stories of the Bible and you look at salvation history, you will see God's great plan for your life. Last week when Pastor Russell talked to us about David and that story of David's life and how it got real tough at one point, we can only know from that story that it might be ours at some point. And all the Scripture stories like that give us an understanding that there is this understanding of in the rhythm of God's holy working with us, that we are being held tight. The collective memory that you will see on point 3A of your study guide today is that which is the memory of all of these Scriptures that holds us knowing that God will deliver. We may have a moment in our lifetime like David, but what we can know from that story is that God will deliver us. And then we come to that kind of understanding where it is really giving us the hope for the future. We have then this memory of the future. When we look back on the stories and we see God as the great deliverer no matter what happens to us, no matter how we are being shaped in any way. God will take the ordinariness of us and make it into something extraordinary, something that we could only imagine as we are the very clay on the potter's wheel. And with that comes then the hope that we can be assured of. As we take those promises there, we stand here saying hope exists so that no matter what happens in our lives, we will be sustained. We will make it through. And when people come into our offices, the first thing we say to them, you will make it through this. Yeah, and here's the story, and here's how it happened for others. And you can know, too, that truly God will be present. Now let's hear from our friends their experience as they talk about the scriptures and these tools and how the Holy Spirit shaped their lives.
In 20 years, that I am still eager and still wanting to be in the Word, still wanting to learn what the living Word means in a new context. I think about the ancient texts and how they talk to each generation, and in another 20 years, we'll be looking at another generation, a new generation. And as I think about my grandson who was just born, who's 20 years old, thought of sharing scripture with him just moves me.
Christianity is not an adjective, it's a verb. And disciple is the best way to get yourself moving in the direction of living. It is a lifestyle. Christianity is a lifestyle, and disciple will help you accept that lifestyle. I will always be either taking or teaching or participating at some level in disciple Bible study. That affects who I am and who I will be and how I will experience life from here on, because I will view things differently. I will accept life differently because I have had the experience of disciple.
I turned 40 years old last year, and I think back at when I was 20 and had no clue of what God would have for me in the future. At 20, I was just excited to be in a relationship with God for really the first time in my life as an adult. And at 40, I looked at all the things that God had blessed me with, and I'm just amazed at all the things I get to do for God. All the callings that he has for my life. And I got to tell you, disciple was a big part of helping prepare me for the things that God would have for me at 40 over those years. And I think about turning 60 or turning 80, and I am so excited about the things that God might have for me then. But for me, I need to stay in God's Word to continue to be transformed and changed. I'm not fully what God wants me to be yet. But there will be a day when I'm 60 or 80 where I'm going to be more like what God wants me to be at 40. And God's going to have some pretty amazing things for me then.
I can only imagine what it will be. For Caroline and Gabe this morning, we saw their journey beginning. We saw them as we see those waters in the film, how it rushes. We know that their life somehow may be chaotic at times. And they're going to be able to know that they are baptized children of God and that there is a plan for them and a future. All of us need to be about this journey. My prayer for you this morning is that this is the year that you will make it so that if you have not used these tools as you should have been using them, that you will no longer find any reason that you cannot. There's tables out there and you're going to be able to sign up. This is the hour to do it. You know, life sometimes just cracks us open. And if the words of the Spirit are laid on our hearts before, when that crack happens, those words are going to pour into our hearts and we're going to get it. We're going to realize what those words now mean for our lives. And it will be okay. We will make it. This is my prayer, that we will be the clay and God will be the potter. Will you pray with me? Oh, most gracious, holy God, we are so very thankful and can only imagine, oh God, what you have ahead for us. I pray, oh God, that each and every person will grow to love your scriptures and that truly, oh God, they will become your children in a way that they never thought they could be. That as daughters and sons of you, we will be able to use these tools, that our lives will be molded and shaped and reformed as life just has its way with us, oh God, and we will cling to you in a whole new way. We give you ourselves, oh God, rededicated to the task of becoming disciples. We give you all this in Christ's holy name. Amen.